Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Can't believe I just said no to a drink.
Really?
Yeah. Immediately I was like, I want a drink. I want a bowl of chips.
Oh, because we walked in and people were outside having beers and chips. Yeah. When was the last time? Have you noticed we're having beers this afternoon.
Tonight.
Yeah.
After this.
It's crazy. I was like,
this is going to be the shortest episode ever because we have planned the first social engagement of our summer.
I was like, when have I ever had beers in the afternoon? People do that though. People like finish that thing about like having a job. It's like you can finish the job even though there's stuff to worry about, but you can finish the job and then
take it easy.
I'm like,
as opposed to being like, I've got an evening free, cool, I can finish writing.
I cannot not finish writing. Yeah,
like, yeah.
I never am working on my thing even though I'm always thinking about working on it. Ooh. And I live in that constant state of like trying to write comedy and not writing it.
Yeah, and not living a life where you'd have something to write about. I'm sorry.
It's fine, Eli.
crying. Minutes in.
Wow. Okay, fuck you. No.
To talk about myself again, the summer beers thing, I had my 30th, infamously, December last year.
Yeah, we haven't really discussed
it. It's because I feel gross and I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, should we do a full episode? What is being 30?
I haven't turned 30 yet. Am I going to care? Currently, I'm like, I couldn't give two shits about
how old I
am.
You'll get there and you'll be like, goodness.
Should we put money on it? Because I've seen so many people around me fall. Like, there have been some strong, incredible men around me that have fallen.
Okay, now I'm crying.
but like, you know, I'm surprised at people's attitudes around turning 30 because I'm just like, we've seen enough movies about this that it's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And my life isn't together at 30. I'm like, it doesn't matter. Does it matter?
It still feels like it'll be hard to push reset at this point. Whereas I think in my 20s, I was like, at any point now, I could be like, wham, click the reset button.
Just read one of those millions of articles of pop stars and musicians whose careers kicked off later in their lives.
Amy Adams, Oscar-winning actress.
Yeah.
She didn't get her first professional gig until well into her 30s.
Are you always looking to Amy Adams?
Yeah, I would love to have her career.
Yeah, well, exactly. She's late 30s in her career.
Anyway, what I was going to say is,
yes,
at my 30th, I got heaps of, you know, like I bought a bunch of beer. I really, you know, catered for people, bought some vodka. And then I was like, and then I'll just have this for the rest of summer. And
you didn't bring non-alcoholic options. Remember you to leave
that
before
was
that happened?
Shocking, wasn't it?
It was.
It was a shocking realization. I was like, what an absolute
idiot.
Blindsided.
And you never returned my oven trays. I had to go to your house and pick them up.
Oh, God.
And they were uncleaned.
Really?
Yeah. They were still in the oven.
Well, we don't use that oven very much. It's basically broken and the house is getting knocked down, so we're just leaving it to die.
I was like, God. Eli is working at his capacity hosting this. I was like, I've never seen you work so hard in your life. I was like, for someone who, like, you know, likes to kind of, you contribute at a party and then you'll find a way to like weasel out of it, like kind of slip away. And I was like, you have to host this. And I was like, this is your day. And you've like, it's very generous to host a party on your 30th. Like, I don't want to do any work at mine.
Mm.
But you're like, I'm going to work my ass off. And you were just like slaying it, like left, right, and center. But I was like, if one person gives him one more job,
yeah, I would cry.
His head's going to fall off.
I reckon I almost cried that week.
Really?
I remember when the ham arrived. I remember when the ham arrived. And I was like, God, this is so big. I have to cook this. Someone's going to cut this up.
The ham was great.
It was delicious.
Yeah, there was good food at that.
Yeah, Alice, you made delicious cheese rolls.
Classic.
Alice Sneddon, famous frenemy of the pod.
Yeah.
Made
competitive podcast.
She made amazing chicken wings. A real hit. Everyone was full by the time the ham came out.
And the ham was the star, but everyone was like, oh, no. Fill up on snacks.
Still got the ham in my freezer. I don't know if it's safe to eat now, but I probably will. I got a cool advertisement on my car.
I was
going
to say, what's your flyer?
This is a flyer that was just underneath my windshield of my car before I walked in.
Hold on. Don't sponsor this product unless they're going to give us money. So bleep out their name.
Okay, well, Tim, bleep this out later. His name is an art fish. He cooks French food at your home. If you want a romantic French night at home, he'll provide the food, wine, and cheese. He will even bring you baguettes if you ask him to. And
you just gave him a full ad.
It looks delicious.
Why are you holding this shit? It does look good.
The image on the front is bizarre. It's like a bicycle with a basket of wine and then a woman's hat.
Where are we? Okay, let's land. Yeah. You were talking about having beers in your fridge?
Yeah. And I just have not touched them. Like, I was like, these are drinks that I'll drink for the rest of summer. And then today I was like, Brinley, do you want me to bring the thousands of beers?
Do you have quite a few beers in the fridge?
Heaps!
No one in your flat really drinks.
No, but then also...
Is drinking cancelled?
Drinking is cancelled.
I feel like no one's drinking. My flat doesn't drink. If I have a wine at my flat, everyone's like, ooh, what's going on? I'm like, that's how rare I'm drinking that when I do have a wine. Everyone's like, what's the occasion?
Who's he?
Yeah, like, is something wrong? Like, it's big day. You know, it's never just like, oh, my parents used to have like a wine every night.
Yeah.
It would be, you just like, they pour a wine, you didn't even bring it up.
I do it in winter a lot more. Drink with dinner or have whiskey. I'll say it. I got smashed this weekend as well. I went to my first gay wedding last weekend.
Oh, tell me about that.
It was great.
Oh my god, we haven't played the theme song.
Oh yeah. Should we start the show?
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Okay, you went to your first gay wedding.
Yeah, welcome on to the Male Gays.
I love the energy of this. I'm going to lean into it.
Yeah.
It is wild. We've like scattered. It's hot.
Yes, I'm sweaty. I'm proper sweaty.
It's a surprisingly hot day.
Humid. I'm wearing one of those t-shirts that like every time I wash it, I'm like, oh, I need to wash this again because there's still a smell in it. So by this point in the day, if I wear this t-shirt, I know I'm going to feel gross and I don't know why I did it again.
Do you have t-shirts that you just hate? I've got some t-shirts. To be honest, and maybe this is my gym journey.
Yeah.
I don't really fit a lot of my t-shirts anymore.
Okay.
You'll notice I've been wearing a lot of shirts.
All the time.
Because the t-shirts, I feel constricted inside of them.
Wow.
So maybe I'm bulking out.
Is it your shoulders? Have they gotten bulkier?
My back maybe. Because it feels tight and I hate that. I hate clothes attached to my body.
Hugging your muscles.
No, I want to be free and movie inside.
I remember thinking that was a good look and that's what I should aspire to, and now I'm like, God, that was a mistake.
Really?
I wore small t-shirts for a long time and I really should have been going for a medium, and nowadays I go for an oversized. Like, I go for it.
Absolutely. Always you want buy that oversized. Bit of room. It needs to fit well.
Yeah. So I went to this gay wedding.
Yes.
In the
Well, it's handle. Just a wedding, isn't it?
But no, it was a gay wedding. And it was my first gay wedding, so don't take that special experience away from me. And it was beautiful. The weather was appalling. Truly insane how, you know, you can plan something, pick a day in summer, think it's going to be perfect, and then
why didn't they
the worst weather
weeks earlier? It could have been any time in summer, but maybe it's like family and stuff.
Yeah, I guess
I'm like, you were playing it close to...
Well, I don't know. Early March, though, isn't that normally...
I guess this is kind of, we're still in wedding season. I'm going to a wedding this weekend. It is full straight.
Oh, cool. Well,
should we just say wedding and then a straight wedding?
Yeah. We're reversing what you think.
Reversing the construct. What is norm? What is not norm? I'm going to a straight wedding.
Cool. Well, good luck for that.
Tell me about the gay wedding.
So the ceremony was mentioned on the beach. We had to move to up. But then it was great because it was like, they had this house, like an Airbnb house, which also doubles as a function center, with a giant, like, beautiful hills. And then
whose house doubles as a function center?
I don't know. I mean, these people. It's such a small bay. Beautiful little bay in the Coromandel. Nothing. No shops. Nothing.
Mm.
So they had the ceremony. They moved up there.
Thank God there was no emergency.
Yeah, that's very true. The roads were so scary, and I drove there in the dead of night.
Oh no!
I had a show. Me and Brindley were doing our show X's. It finished at which is returning for the comedy festival. Keep your eyes peeled. But the show finished at 9:30. Then I had to go home, grab a couple of things. I was on the road at like 10:30. It was a 3-hour drive.
Were you driving with your boyfriend?
No. I was driving with podcasts.
It's just like hope.
Yeah, and it was so sad. I organized myself. I was like, download Audible, get your free trial, download Becoming Michelle Obama. You're gonna
great.
And then it just doesn't work, and it still hasn't worked. It still hasn't synced up.
I hate this fucking country.
I know.
Isn't it crazy?
It's infuriating.
I want to watch a video. I want to read a book.
Yeah.
I want to watch a movie.
Yeah.
I want to order something online. None of that is possible. Because I live in a country that is at the bottom of the world. And it's so stupid.
It's so sad.
We gave women the vote and we can't watch clips of SNL. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm like, we are progressive.
Yeah.
This geo-blocking is crazy. We live in a time of geo-blocking is crazy.
Geo-blocking should be cancelled and I don't understand
it. It's so fucked. I'm like, we're going to live in a time where we're going to be like, well, back in our day, you know, we're to our grandkids.
Yeah.
We'll be like, if I wanted to watch a clip, sometimes I couldn't.
Like, sit around, let me check geo-blocking.
And they'll be like, what the fuck's geo-blocking, Pops? Yeah. And I was like, it was hell on earth.
And they'll be like, what the fuck's TV? Because, our infrastructure has been destroyed by nuclear weapons and we're kind of surviving. And they're like,
when are we going to get off this boat? It's like, never. We live here now. The ice cap's melted.
No one has conceived a child in 15 years, so we're trying to find the last remaining pregnant woman.
Why is it so hot? The sun is burning.
Anyway, here's some things I loved about this wedding ceremony. And this is like, I think gay weddings get to break the rules and they do cool things.
Yep.
So this one.
Flip the norm.
Ceremony was at 3. But there was drinks beforehand at 2. And the grooms were there. Like, they didn't.
Yeah, perfect.
We didn't turn up and wait for anyone to arrive.
Yeah, perfect.
Loved it.
They were both there because we didn't have to hide the fucking dress.
Yes.
You can't see the bride before that. It's like, it's dumb.
Let me see it.
Yeah.
And then you get to look at the outfit up close and be like, cool, man.
Nice suits. What did they do? Matching?
No, different colors.
Complimentary. Good choice.
And then these kind of like, cute little beach shoes. And one of them had kind of like a colorful shirt. And then the other one had a planner shirt with a wooden bow tie.
Knock, knock.
Yeah. And then when the bridal party entered for the wedding as well. The bridal party? That's a real term that's fine to use.
Yeah, I get. Yeah. Oh.
Like the groomsmen and the bridesmaids, the bridal party.
Oh, I got you. Is there a bridesmaids if there's no bride?
Oh, they're groomsmaids, aren't they?
And there's no bridal party because there's no bride there.
Wow. The groomdle party.
That's why I was like, what? You're like, don't challenge me on that too. I was like, there's no bride there.
But do you still think you call it the bridal party?
The wedding party.
Wow. I have been conditioned.
You have been
by this insane world.
They
entered one at a time, so they didn't like pair up on the way up.
Say who? What again? Say that again.
So like they didn't do like one from each side walking down together. They just all walked one. Which actually, no, I've seen that in a few weddings and some hetero weddings,
straight weddings,
and then they just walked down the middle, and then I don't know, it was a lovely little ceremony.
That's
and then
nice. We did a similar thing at the gay wedding I went to. Wedding that I've been to is that we did a flag ceremony where we raised a flag to commemorate the weekend.
Oh.
And then we all...
This is for the weekend. The weekend never dies.
I don't know what song that is.
I was making it up. Just generic, Pitbull song about...
I was like, this is some band called... Like The Weeknd? Do you remember The Weeknd?
Yeah.
All my kids are famous. Or what was the song?
I love his thing. Do you remember The Weeknd? As if he's not been like one of the most successful recording artists of the
last 8 years. Honestly, I can't remember. What was his song?
I can feel my face when I'm with you.
Oh, yeah.
So many.
What's something who's walking in front of like a car on fire?
Oh, yeah. We'll never know. No one will ever uncover
and no one's ever going to research it either. So anyway, we walked. So we raised, because it was like a weekend wedding.
Yeah.
And then we all walked to this outdoor chapel together.
Beaut.
And the person that wed them, like who did the ceremony, was one of the groom's ex-boyfriends.
Wow, that's a trip.
And I was like, and this shows you how good they are at their relationships.
Yeah.
I'm here wedding them, and I used to go out with him.
And I'm still in love with him.
And I'm still in love with today. And today I kill your groom-to-be. Beautiful. Did you, what was your preference? Would you prefer going to a straight wedding or a gay wedding?
A gay wedding, I think. Because I get horny when I watch two men
kiss. Like rude, it's like porn.
Yeah, it is porn for me.
And then, so the ceremony, and then what happened after the ceremony? Cut of the cake, two grooms on the cake?
I don't think there were grooms on the cake. I think there was just two beautiful cakes. One was white chocolate raspberry lemon, one was chocolate and something
else. Why two cakes? I've noticed a trend of two cakes, and usually it's because, like, the groom is gluten-free, and so this is the gluten-free, you know, or like...
Yeah.
I always love it. It's like, okay, guys, the wedding cake, it's five tiers. Top tier, dairy-free. Second tier, gluten-free.
Mm.
Then it's chocolate because that's the groom's favorite flavor. Then it's like a vanilla. Then we're doing a fruit cake.
I think this was, they both each got to choose the cake. A cake.
So it's like their day.
Yeah.
That's weird that it's not like, I guess it's beautiful.
I saw a wedding recently. Was this one of our friends went to a wedding where they had a big stack of cheese?
Oh, yeah, a wheel of cheese. That's like when I went to that.
A cheesecake.
Yeah, but like a cheese, full stop, cake.
Three different types of cheese stacked on top of each other. I love that. Like a wedding cake. I think it's so good. This wedding had great cheese. The, like, canapes were so good. There was these mussels, and I don't know how they cooked them the way they did, but it was so good. I had... six.
Do you want to describe the flavor or just leave it at good?
Herby. But the thing is, they were kind of like chewy. They weren't like, but they was, but in a way that was really yum.
Chewy in a yum way.
Well, they tasted like smoked, I guess. I don't know.
Herby, chewy, and smoked.
And smoked.
Beautiful.
That's all I can say. And that's all I have to say on the matter, but it was delicious.
I'm excited for this week, this straight wedding this weekend, because you get like, this one is like one of those, like, it's a catered wedding. Like, you sit down, there's dinner. I'm like, free dinner.
Yeah, I love
it's that. It's
going to
be fancy as fuck. I'm so excited for it.
Do you get a menu that you choose between a couple
of
options?
I think it's like chicken or the fish, yeah.
Yeah, sick. I love that. I love that. This one was very much you go and get your food and you sit. But the was cool thing
was
that
buffet
it was
buffet style.
Was it? Yes.
Did I ever tell you about at high school when we had the school dance, and it was like, you know, the third former, fourth former dance where, like, you'd go and the poke a chick was like the term. And
what?
Poke a chick. It was like, did you poke? Which is like that everyone would ask.
You'd go and the poker chick would be there.
The poker.
What's that? You know, the chick who's like always
on the poker table.
The poker table. The poker chick.
The poker chick. And anyway, the teacher was like telling us about our first dance, like what to expect, like our form teacher. And she's like, you know, you go into the gym and you'll dance and the tickets are $7. There'll be girls there. It was so weird that the teacher was kind of telling us about it, being like, I know what you guys get up to in there. And then this guy, Elliot, in our class put up his hand and he had an accent and he goes, will there be a buffet? And I have never forgotten that. And it was so beautiful.
I think I did. Well, I don't know if I've heard that whole story, but I've definitely heard you say that and thought it was, I assumed it was a quote from a movie that you watched as a child.
We just had to pause the podcast for a second because I had to text my boyfriend.
They've had a pregnancy scare.
I'm pregnant. Okay, so fact of the gay?
Oh, fact of the gay. Okay, Richard O'Brien. Heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's from Hamilton, New Zealand, if you didn't know. And he wrote the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Is he genderqueer, non-binary?
I think he's just a freak, you know? I
hope he is non-binary, and then he's like listening to this, and he's like, you motherfucker.
I don't know. I think he...
He's queer.
Yeah.
In all senses of the word. You know, he's like...
He's like John Waters. He's that kind of like queer
totally that.
Person who's just like, lives on the outside of the norm.
I'm going to research it, because I feel like he was, but is, I don't know.
Mm.
But probably identifies more as like an alien. You know, like, it's that kind of vibe.
He's got a great little statue in Hamilton. If you're ever there, go get a snap.
I want a statue.
Yeah, I want a statue too.
And
how many New Zealanders have statues?
So many, but lots of them are like, who are you?
The first Dutch person to get here, the first French person to
get
here.
I want a modern statue, because that would probably be the most modern statue in New Zealand.
Is there one of Richard McCaw?
There should be. Yeah. Like, I don't even like him.
Whoa, wow. You don't like him?
Like, I'm not a...
That is a Canterbury lad who let out boys.
Do you love him?
No.
Yeah, I'm not like... Well, I'm like not a fan.
Yeah.
But I don't like... I'm not out to like get him.
Well, do you like a statue of Dan Carter, jockey ad?
Yeah, that would be more formative for me.
Yeah.
But Richard O'Brien, yeah, he's got a statue. He wrote Rocky Horror Picture Show and...
Amazing musical. And amazing that he wrote that and then... you might be thinking, did he ever write anything else? Well, he did write Shock Treatment, which is the sequel to Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Ooh.
I've watched this once. I think stoned with our friend Eddie.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah. Classic.
As you might imagine, in maybe about 2009. But the movie Shock Treatment is really freaking weird. Brad and Janet come back. They...
Same actors?
Different actors. They play contestants. There's a whole city that's inside a TV studio. The whole city exists within a TV studio. Everything is filmed. They're in some kind of like weird dating show. And I truly don't remember the story, but they're just lots of songs happen.
Mm.
Anyway, here's the wild thing. Richard O'Brien wrote 4 separate screenplays for sequels to Rocky Horror.
Wow.
And Shock Treatment is the only one that got made. But there's 4 separate scripts that he wrote.
Put them on.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Like, I've read a few things about Richard O'Brien over the years. Sir Richard O'Brien.
I see.
Maybe.
Yeah.
About,
I say.
About, like, you know, it was such an incredible piece at that time. It made sense at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've obviously, our politics have advanced in terms of, you know, discussing transsexuals from Transylvania and how, like, it's sort of weirdly problematic, but then because it provides such an incredible outlet for the queer community, that particular movie, like, there's so many, like, we forgive so much of it as well.
Yeah, totally.
But I have a real soft spot for it.
The songs are all killer, no filler.
Every song is a absolute tune.
The choruses are so catchy.
Yeah.
The whole... And
it rocks.
It
like,
rocks.
It actually rocks.
It rocks. It Rocky Horror's picture.
When was your first time experiencing it?
Pretty late, bro. Oh, here you go. In a 2009 interview, O'Brien spoke about an ongoing struggle to reconcile cultural gender roles and described himself as being transgender or possible third sex genderqueer. The continuum between male and female. Some are hardwired one way. I'm in between.
So they, them.
Oh, he talked about using estrogen for the previous decade. Views himself as 70%
male,
30% female.
70%
male,
30% female.
Oh, and then in 2017, he came out of controversy when he said transgender women were not real women. But
he said, well, that's terrible.
I don't know. Is that just what happens when you turn 70?
I don't think that's forgivable behavior.
No, not at all.
But
he's had 3 wives.
Wow. A really interesting person, right? It's so interesting when, like, someone who can stand for so much good is also really inherently problematic as well.
And inspire so many queer people as well. Like, Rocky Horror is such, like, a touchstone for so
it's an
many
outlet
people.
For people and a channel for people to, like, I think, discover that queerness, like, really early on. But then if you're, like, is it aware of itself? I don't know. Or is it, like, completely... Was it just completely a fluke?
Yeah.
But I love my first. So your experience was late.
Late, like probably 19 or 20, while doing a musical at university. I think someone else was like, "You got to watch Rocky Horror." And at first, I was like, "I didn't." I loved the songs and didn't really get the story. I was like, "What's going on?"
The story is rubbish.
But then, in time since then, I've kind of gotten into it. I think as I've grown up into a more horny adult, I really loved the fact that it's just about
fucking
all these people getting hot for each other, just fucking everyone.
I first encountered it at 14, which is like the
perfect age.
Well, actually, the Court Theatre, which is the theatre that we visited a lot growing up, and like being like closeted homosexuals growing up in Christchurch, like it was our safe space.
We loved it there.
And we're always there. And I remember they put on Rocky Horror Show, and my parents took me along, and I was like really confronted. They're like, "You'll love it." And I was like, "This is full on." Like, I remember I actually adored it. And then kind of got into the movie after that. And then I was dating Mariah, my girlfriend at the time. And she...
I love the way you say girlfriend. I hope that's how you say
girlfriend.
Yeah, I'm just going to go to my girlfriend's house.
It's like the girlfriend's house. And she was like, "I really love Rocky." And we had like a Rocky Horror Picture Show night where we all dressed up and like wore the suits and stuff like that.
Wow.
I love those kind of screenings. They are so much fun.
They're so cool. I saw that in Perks of Being a Wallflower. They all like, they induct them.
You're like, "Oh, cool to be a teen.
I want their life."
But that, it's sort of like interesting. I love the idea of a cult classic. Mm. I've always wanted to create one or be in one, like just something that wasn't really aware of what it was at the time, and then like eventually became this like huge sensation that people just consider. I consider it like, you know, it's like a trashy piece of fine art.
Yeah.
And weirdly that you bring it up, because I was watching Little Shop of Horrors on loop today, like specifically Ellen Green, who plays Audrey.
Oh,
that woman,
she's amazing.
If there's one thing you guys need to YouTube tonight, it's that, is her performances of that. She's like, honestly,
Green.
Suddenly Seymour gives me utter chills. Like she is like a camp icon.
Yeah.
In terms of like, she's so tragic, she's so beautiful, and she's hilarious, and she's like giving you, honestly, like the thinnest character. I was like, hello, it's like this tiny voice and like very new. But then there's all this depth that she brings to it at the same time. I'm like, how are you doing this? And her singing is insane.
Her
singing
is so beautiful.
Insane. It's like these incredible performances. And she's like basically only, she was in Pushing Daisies, she was in like Hannibal. Like but then like apart from that, like not really in anything else. Like she's done a few kind of character Broadway shows and stuff, and she's like a cabaret artist, but like she will forever be known as Audrey.
She's so perfect in that movie that it's almost like,
well, she's played it again and again and again. And that movie was like 1987, I think. And
yes.
Then she was like, I just saw a clip of her doing it in 2017 with Jake Gyllenhaal, and I was like, she's still playing the same character.
With Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, he's singing for Seymour.
Oh, how is he? He can sing, right?
He can actually sing. I'm like, most actors can actually sing, because like even like sturdy kind of Hollywood actors like were in a musical once at high school.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Totally.
Totally. Hey, this is my girlfriend. I totally love her.
Who? I'm just like, what are other performances for you of that are just like, for me, I'm like, that is an Oscar winning performance, but it's like such a, it's under such a trashy film. You know, like, what are, like, trashy films where someone just gives you the full performance?
Okay, I love the film. Maybe I've talked about this before, the film Nurse Betty, starring Renee Zellweger.
Oh,
she's insane.
I love
insane
Renee.
I love her.
Did she get an Oscar for Chicago?
No, nommed. No, won.
Oh, or did Catherine Zeta-Jones?
No, she won for Cold Mountain. Catherine Zeta-Jones won Supporting Actress. I don't think she won Best Actress. I think it was Nicole Kidman in The Hours.
Right.
Renee was nominated for Bridget Jones, though, which is an amazing breakthrough.
Well, that's an example of a trashy film that actually the performance in it is transcendent.
And is it trashy? Oh, is a well-made rom-com that is maybe formulaic trashy? Or is it good filmmaking?
It's good filmmaking, but like it's filmed to be trash for you, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you watch it to like binge.
Nurse Betty that she's in is pretty
Oh, Nurse Betty. Yeah,
it's Neil LaBute, that playwright.
Yes,
yeah, Pills. She witnesses her husband being scalped. She's
wow.
obsessed with a soap opera on TV with Greg Kinnear in it, and then she, after the scalping, her mind joins with the storyline of the soap opera. She thinks she's one of the characters in it. She drives across America by herself to meet up with him, Greg Kinnear. And there's this weird kind of like, she's in Kansas, and there's a weird kind of like Wizard of Oz thing going on where she has these like weird fantasy sequences where she's in Dorothy's outfits, and then she ultimately gets a part in the show, and she's being chased by Morgan Freeman and Chris Rock the entire time. It's a wild movie. The storyline is completely bizarre, but her performance is incredible. She won the Golden Globe Best Comedy Musical Performance.
Wow.
Did not get nominated for an Oscar, but a huge year as well. George Clooney that year won the Best Comedy Performance Oscar for Oh Brother, We're Out There. Not Oscar, Golden Globe. Which is so good, because I like it when those golden movies that are comedies, as opposed to, you know, when like The Martian won Best Comedy, which is not at all a comedy.
What about Mars Attacks?
I love
her. She's in Mars Attacks, hey, Renee?
No. You're thinking of Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, yeah.
She gets her hair gets put on.
She's
the
fantastic in that.
She's so good.
She is
everyone,
so good in that.
Everyone gives it so hard. Annette Bening is the like yoga woman.
Jennifer Coolidge is another actress who gives you Oscar-winning performances in trashy films. I want to see her win an Oscar.
I would be so amazing.
Like, someone just hasn't cast... I'm like, why haven't you not cast that correctly?
Yeah.
Just, it's all there for you.
Yeah.
Put it in anything.
The vehicle.
Just give her the vehicle. Exactly.
Lisa Kudrow, I'd love to see win an Oscar, because she's Honestly, yeah, she's fantastic. Always standing out. In a...
Rose Byrne is another example of someone who, in weirdly, Neighbours, Bad Neighbours, gives just a hilarious performance. Like she's
so funny.
She's
just
brilliant. Like, oh, I keep turning on this light. There's a touch light behind me that my elbow keeps touching, and then I keep being like, I've got a bright idea.
I love that Rose Byrne has such a great career. She was kind of like, she was in like Damages or whatever, and like she's in a movie called Wicker Park. I don't know if you've seen that with Josh Hartnett. Oof. I love it. It's a really trashy like twist romantic thriller, but she was in so much like serious stuff, and then like she dropped that she was funny like a fucking bomb. She's like, oh by the way I'm fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I love
watch me in
that.
Bridesmaids, watch me in Bad Neighbors, I kill it every time.
I like seeing an actress
spy,
or, I love seeing an actress do that over like a wrestler, you know.
Yes.
Whoever, or like Chris, I don't want to see Chris Hemsworth be like, also by the way I'm funny.
Yeah,
I'm just like, fuck off.
It's annoying.
It is annoying
because you're like, yeah, you are funny, but
I hate that you're also hot.
Yeah,
and so you're just like any of the guys at high school.
Yes,
who are just like got all the attention.
Oh god, who else am I thinking? Oh, I think John Cena's pretty good. You don't have to rest yourself.
No,
I'd watch him in a movie.
Nah,
you need to watch Blockers, and you need to stop turning the light on that's behind you with your elbow.
It's got fat arms. I keep hitting it. Oh my god, I did it again.
Move it.
I can't move it. When I move it, I touch it, and when I touch it, the light goes on.
Honestly, what is happening right now that you can't see is a
film it for
slapstick.
Film it.
I am. I'm going to capture
for content, and then we can. I don't know, people can like, well, I've got to do the one for last one.
Damn, you just did it again and I missed it.
We've got to do it for the, what happened last episode?
Doing that. That's how Chris does it. He turns it on with his elbow.
And I have to try and turn it off. It just keeps turning on.
So when you listen to this podcast, go back and watch this Instagram story that came out days before.
Oh, wait.
Okay.
No, you say that and then we release it onto Twitter
or something.
Has our last episode come out?
Yeah.
I've got video content to add to it. We're becoming like the AM show where you can watch us through the like multiple platforms.
We're a multi-platform show.
You can watch us, listen to us on the podcast network, or you can watch 5-second videos of us on Twitter.
Yeah, or Instagram story. God, what were we talking about? Oh, funny
woman.
Yeah. Jonah Hill has had a pretty good...
Oh, I don't want to hear about this. The provocation was not John Cena and Jonah Hill.
But Jonah Hill is a comedy actor who was just...
He's on the opposite, eh?
The opposite. And then he has had, like, Oscar noms for, like, Wolf of Wall Street, where he is largely a comedy, you know, role. There's a new movie coming out. I watched the trailer this morning where Charlize Theron plays the Secretary of State and she's dating Seth Rogen. It's like a kind of Notting Hill-esque thing, but she's a politician instead of an actress. She's
Often do you reckon she brings up Monster?
I reckon she knows that she's better in Young Adult and Shelley.
But do you reckon she's always like, my process with Monster, I actually...
Tully.
Physical transformation.
Oh, I don't know.
Tully?
Tully, have you seen that film?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
Tully. She's like yelling it.
She's... No, because... I don't think she cares. I don't think Charlize thinks Monster is her best performances. And I think she's got a sense of humor about her career.
Really?
I think she's a fun-loving, cool girl who's very self-aware. And I think we get along really well. Really, really well.
Wild call. Mm. Oh, I mean, this is just a conversation about movie stars. Surely we've got better things to talk about. What are you insecure about at the moment?
So much. Honestly, so much. Like, week to week, I'm like... Is everything going to bottom out?
Ooh, bottom out is rude.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Have you ever bottomed outside?
Bottomed outside. I'm just trying to figure out when I have had sex outside, whether I was bottoming or topping.
Ooh.
And I think I have. But then we went inside because I got scared.
Yeah.
Of being caught.
I think I've mainly done, like, mouth and hand stuff in the outdoors, but I... think I have bottomed in an outdoor shower, you know, like in a hotel that's got an outdoor shower area. But then is it really
No, I don't know any hotel that has an outdoor shower area.
Oh, not a hotel, but you know, like we were saying, like a
and give me the exact
in Tonga. We were staying in like one of those little huts, and then it has like a little outdoor shower. You got a wall around you, and the you know,
oh, that's nice. Outside. and we fucked in that shower so hard. No, I haven't. But I feel like sex in a shower, like, it doesn't really make complete sense. Like, there's a lot of water sprays back in your eyes. And also, I think about this scene in The Beach a lot where Leonardo DiCaprio has sex in the beach, in the water.
Does he?
I feel like they had sex in the sea.
Are you sure they were just making out?
I was like 15 when I watched it. It would be so
like dry to try and have sex in the salty ocean.
I know, but I remember watching it and being like, is that actually possible?
Do they get attacked by sharks in that film? Is that what happened?
No, they don't. They like try and they steal weed and then they have to like run for their lives.
Yes, I know that aspect. And I think there's also a bit where they're like swimming in the beach.
Should we rewatch it?
Absolutely not. I watched it before I went to Thailand.
Wow. Just to be like, what not to do.
Yeah, and because we went...
Do not start a cult.
Yes. Well, we went to the beach. That is the beach. Oh. Which is now, you can't go to it anymore.
Why? Because we've fucked it up.
Because tourists have absolutely fucked it up.
Oh my God. We don't deserve this planet.
I know.
What am I insecure about at the moment? You just feel you're insecure about everything bottoming out.
Yes, I'm insecure that I maybe have not planned for the future enough. I know that I've got, like, I don't know, money saved in the bank, but somehow I just am really worried that something's going to come up. I'm going to have to spend everything that I have, and then
like an emergency.
I'm not going to be able to top it up because I, you know, like I just didn't get a commercial that I was on hold for. So.
Oh, did you not get that?
Yeah, I only found out a couple of hours ago. I wanted that.
Fuck. You are destined for things beyond this opportunity.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with you.
This is me trying to make it sound better. But the money would have been lit.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I feel like lots of people are like, I know in my circle are like leaving their jobs and like, I guess we're in our Mercury...
Saturn's return.
I was going to say my Mercury's universe or something. I was like, it's something like that. My Saturn's return. I don't know about all this shit anymore. This like...
You're talking about co-star. You're talking about the co-star, right?
I'm talking about, yeah, star signs and personality tests and all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm kind of reaching my limit at the moment about hearing about it all. Because I feel like...
Really brave of you to admit that you have reached your limit of personalities and tests and star signs.
Well, I just feel like... People start to live their life according to how it has been described to them.
Oh, yes.
And they're like, oh, that is so me. And then suddenly they adopt that behavior.
Yeah.
Versus kind of like free running with it, you know?
It's why when you meet people who are so like, oh, yeah, I really want to like, they're at a party and they're like, I wonder how many Tauruses there are at this party. I really love to hang out with a Taurus tonight. You're like, what?
What are you talking about?
Yes.
Absolutely. I don't really know many people that do that, but that is wild behavior.
I think CoStar is a fucked up app because every day that it's told me that I am going to struggle in sex and love, I have had sex that day. And every day that it's told me that I've got power in sex and love, I've not even masturbated. I've had nothing sexual's happened.
But of course, like, it is just bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, it is just bullshit. And so, like, to be like, I didn't know that I had sex today. I'm like, of course it doesn't. It's an app that someone runs at, like, in America.
Yeah,
and but this is the thing, right? I'm like, oh, it's so like contradictory. It's not working. I'm like, of course it's not working. They're not spying on you.
Don't you think it's still fun though? A little bit sometimes.
That's
my take.
Isn't it just like slightly fun, Chris? Can't you just fucking have fun and not worry about it? I know. I feel like I'm just constantly surrounded by people at the moment who are like analyzing who they are and in comparison to what their star sign is. And then I feel like I've seen their behavior shift to like, you know.
Oh, wow. They're like overcompensating because they're like.
Not overcompensating, but like, it's definitely like, if you read all this material every day, that's like, you behave this way, you think this way, watch out for these things because this is who you are. I'm like, really, does who you were born on a certain time, why does that, I want to hear someone talk about how being born at a certain time in a certain place truly defines your personality versus the context in which you were raised in.
Wow.
Nature versus nurture.
Yeah, it's truly, I want to tell you, for coming out against horoscopes, you are so brave.
I'm going to be literally dragged by the
You are.
I'm not anti them. I'm just like, is it dangerous? I still read it. I still read them all the time. I'm a proud Libra. But yeah, I'm just like, I don't know, maybe it's a trap. There's so many, there's like idiot, even Myers-Briggs or whatever.
Myers-Briggs is bullshit.
Kinsey.
Yeah.
To be like, I'm a three. And they'd be like, oh my God, I'm surprising myself. Maybe I'm a two. It's like, just forget about the numbers.
And fuck some.
And fuck some fuck dudes.
Fuck some dudes, man. That's our advice to anyone struggling with their sexuality at the moment. Forget about the numbers and fuck some dudes or some gals. I was going to say something.
The floor's yours.
Oh, no. Now I've put too much pressure on myself. The good thing about me with horoscopes is that I forget everything that I read almost instantly. So I'll read something and I'll be like, oh, cool. I'll take that into my day. And I won't remember what it was that it
said. No. Absolutely not.
Or what happened. Maybe this is what I'm insecure about at the moment. Maybe I'm going to get dementia at like 35. Sometimes I think
that's sad.
Well, it's crazy. I've got really good retention for
You were too smart and sharp for that.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you. I'm a Ravenclaw. I can learn a.
You did that. That's again. I'm like, what? People honestly believe in that stuff, eh?
Yeah.
Around their Harry Potter house.
Yeah, me and Alice talked about it today at lunch, and neither with no irony or comment or judgment on what we were doing. And then talked about how, some characters in the Harry Potter world, why was Neville not a Hufflepuff and why was Cedric not a Gryffindor? Crazy.
Did she read Harry Potter?
No, she actually didn't finish. She got up to, she never read the final book.
Wow.
So she's somewhere in between you and me.
I haven't. I've read the first book.
Yeah. Anyway, my memory, I can retain, I can learn, a piece of text really quickly. To anyone scouting.
Beautiful.
But I just will forget. I'll just forget everything. I need to get better running to-do lists. I've got an app now called Todoist, which is on my computer and is the sponsor of this thing, where you can write in everything you need to remember to do in a day. And I haven't used it, but I really want to.
I know, that's when I walk into Kiki KA and I'm like, fuck yeah, look at all the shit that gets your life together. And I'm like, you still have to find, if you can find the chutzpah inside of yourself to use these fucking jot pads,
yeah,
you've got the energy to do it without a jot pad.
Yeah.
That's the kind of...
That's what I think. If you can remember to write it down in a diary, you're going to remember it.
Yeah, exactly. And if you remember to fucking check your diary, then you don't need a fucking diary.
Here's something I need to know. This is a word out for any IT nuts out there. Every time I put something in my Google Calendar, before it happens, I'll get four emails every time being like, you have this event in half an hour, you have this event in 10 minutes.
Wonderful.
Clogging up my inbox. No, I hate it.
Just delete the email as they come in.
That's what I do, but I don't want to go to that trouble.
We're so fucking lazy, with notification. Like, when a notification pops up on our thing, you're like, it feels like you've added something physical to your person that day.
You have to carry it.
You're like, exactly. I'm carrying this notification, but really, it's just a matter of going once, to. Oh, sorry, no one saw that.
He's just swipe.
I just swipe. But you just need to swipe. But it feels like the action of, you're like, I'm saving my swipes. You don't understand how often I need to swipe in my day to day.
Do you know something that's truly incredible, and I'm so proud that we haven't talked about it? Is that the day that we were recording this podcast, Instagram and Facebook were out for 8-9 hours.
Yeah, it was, honestly, I noticed no difference.
It was
I was like, I'm gonna get so much done, then I was like, I haven't.
I was definitely on Twitter more. Like, I read every tweet, word by word, slowly ingested it.
It's fuck.
I got more done, I think, today than I would have.
Right. I need to delete the apps potentially. What would I distract myself with?
I deleted the Facebook app and then I just reinstalled it the other day.
What would you distract yourself with, do you reckon, if you didn't have those apps? Do you think you'd still distract yourself from doing work?
Yeah. I don't know what I'd be doing.
Porn and reading magazines. Honestly,
yeah. If I was like working on a laptop, when I'm like, if I've got like any sort of assignment due, you know, like a late night, we've got like, I've got to stay up and do this application form, whatever. The temptation to watch porn in that situation is crazy.
It's wild.
It's like, okay, I'm going to sit down and fill out this application. It's like,
whenever I have to do it, like, Jono and Ben.
Yeah.
When we used to write at Jono and Ben, basically on the, this is so funny, on the midnight, basically midnight before you recorded the show.
Once the clock struck
like
midnight.
Cinderella, we'd have to write like alternative jokes for the entire show. So you'd be up to like 2 a.m. writing jokes for the show. That
about
would be
the Warriors or whatever.
Yeah. And yeah, I agree.
It's a soon, I think, I was wondering if this is, if
it's horny hour. It's a horny hour.
It's a horny hour. It's also nostalgic because I remember, I don't know if you were the same, I remember like as a teen, with porn on like low speed internet, if you wanted to watch a porn video, you needed to kind of like open it and then have it loading in the background for like 3 hours if you wanted to watch the whole
video.
And
your computer's like steaming up. It's just taking up so much power.
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of want to, maybe it harkens back to that because I did that when I used to write essays. I'd be like, well, I'll write an essay and I'll just light up this fun little video to watch at the end. Just as a treat.
That is amazing. You'd be like, hey, the internet's going really slow. Does anyone know what's going on? And you're like,
I don't know. I'm hard at work on an essay. I'm offline.
I'm offline. I'm just working on this essay. Yeah, shit. Life is distracting. I reckon that's my biggest bugbear at the moment as well. It's like how distracting life is.
And me too. And you know, this is, I think we're talking about, I think when people have given us a hard truth recently in a real life conversation, which is not available on the podcast or the Patreon. But
the Patreon does not exist.
But I was talking about how a teacher at drama school told me that I flick in and out of the room all the time. She actually said it when she was like, you're doing that less. But she was like, sometimes you'll just float, your mind's so clearly elsewhere. And she was like, and everyone can see it.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Oh my god.
I've been trying to do that telephone breathing technique this last week.
What's that?
You know where you cover one nostril, breathe in, cover the other nostril.
Offer anxiety.
Breathe in. Yeah.
Breathe in. Just keep breathing in.
Yeah.
And you pass out.
Yeah. Just keep breathing until you inflate.
And then you just have the best night's sleep.
Yeah. Death.
Death. I have been thinking a lot about like, well, I guess because I'm trying to write a show about it for the comedy festival around like insecurities and just like, I think that's one of my biggest issues is just like constantly worrying what other people think about me, and that gets in the way of me just like getting on with it.
What? Yeah. So you think that's your biggest insecurity at the moment? Just around that conversation we started and I was the only one who answered.
Oh yeah, true. Well, you never asked. Yeah, you have asked now. Definitely. I'm constantly worrying how I'm like being read and perceived.
Wow.
Maybe my like previous life, I was just like a fucking monster and I constantly feel that's energy inside of me that is like huge and dynamic, and I just have to like pull it back because it's like it's evil.
So you think you are at all times holding back an evil that you have from a previous life where you were Charlie's Theron, a monster?
No, like I reckon like maybe I was like a business woman a cutthroat businesswoman in advertising in the 80s or something.
Well, you sound awesome. That doesn't sound like a monster.
No, but like that energy inside of me, a man now, is like too much for a room.
How do you think your comedy festival show is going? Oh, a fan of the podcast spoke to me yesterday at Snail Mail, which is like a cool like indie music gig.
Ooh.
You know how you said it, you met heaps of fans at Laneway?
Yes.
I'm like, it's so cool that you guys are definitely cooler than us.
I know. That's cute.
It was very cute.
How's my comedy fest show writing going? It's so basically, if you don't know, Elan and I have to write like hour shows by, I don't know, a month. And the pressure is huge, you guys.
Yeah.
But also, again, my insecurities of like, I feel this like constant drive to have to deliver like so much. Like, I just need to, I need to give them everything. It needs to be a flawless hour.
Yeah.
And because otherwise they're going to think I'm shit. And so that's what's going on all the time. And that, like, honestly, is just, like, cock-blocking me from just actually writing.
Yeah, true. Because you judge everything before.
And I just, like, recently I've just been on stage doing, like, some comedy. And then I'll just, like, leave being like, that could not have gone worse. And then it's been absolutely fine. But I'm just like, I did it. So I did this gig at Shadows, the student bar. I've never been into a student bar before.
You've never been to any student bars before?
No.
Amazing.
I think I've been into the one in Christchurch once, but not to drink, just to like go in there.
The Foundry.
The Foundry. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, what? I've never, I'm always like, I've never been in something like this before. Like, I'm always saying that. Like, I've never experienced this thing before. I don't know, because I've just lived a very small life. But it was just like, the energy was wild. Like, we arrived, he was like a 16-year-old. No, 16. He was 18. But he was so wasted. It was,
fuck.
It was 6 o'clock. And he was like, blind drunk. He's sitting on a chair just like, ooh, like rocking. His eyes could barely open. And I was like, oh my God, this is not a safe space. And then there was just like energy of these kind of guys walking around with like novelty hats on, like just, you know, like being like, I'm a joker. And you're like, yo, you're freaky. And then I did my comedy to like a couple of guys who whose arms were crossed, and they were just like staring me out.
Jesus.
Like just these full hit, like, this shit is so gay. And I was like talking all the gay shit, and they're just like looking at me like, I'm not gonna laugh at you, while like there was a couple of girls who were like, yes, like beside me, like clicking and like screaming as if I was a drag queen. And it was just like the energy, I was like, I can't, that's too extreme, I can't balance this.
Oh no.
And I kind of left being like, that could not have gone worse. But I think honestly it was fine.
Yeah,
but it's just like constantly feeling like I'm doing a bad job in front of people.
Wow.
Not just in my career, but like in life. At a dinner party, I'll be like, God, I talk too much. Even now, I'm like, shut up.
Oh yeah, we were saying this the other day. Yeah, sometimes I'll say like two things and I'll be like, I'm so annoying.
do you want salt with that? Yeah, salt would be great.
Oh fuck, I just,
I'm so annoying. Shut up.
Can you please pass the fork?
I'm sorry.
I did the Massey University orientation gig.
Oh my God, we're both in uni gigs.
Yeah,
recently.
Palmy North had a great time. The light just went on again.
touching the light.
It was so good. They took a group of everywhere I went, they'd put a bowl of Ferrero Rochers for us to eat while we did that gig. It was crazy.
Divine.
It was divine.
It goes like this. Ferrero Rochers, that's the most expensive chocolate you can get.
Yeah.
Followed by pods. Yeah. Followed by roses, followed by scorched almonds. And if you argue with that,
fuck
you. I'll fucking fight you.
The gig was organized by this great guy called Craig, who never took his backpack off, which I really loved.
I love that energy. It's like, yeah. I'm going to run at any moment.
And the audience was so cool, and they felt very woke. And there was this group of guys who were in like, for some reason, they were in high-vis vests for some, I don't know, stupid joke they were doing. And then they, but they were still all really nice. If anyone from Massey's listening, thanks. And then Donna Brookbanks, legend of comedy, got up to do her set. And then a guy heckled, and he did a heckle where he was like, would you like a cup of tea, miss, was what he said. And then what I found out from that, when we talked to some young kids now, everyone now, when they sex education in schools, everyone's watching this video. I think you can watch it online as well, which teaches you about consent, and it's like about a cup of tea. It's like inviting someone around for a cup of tea. You can invite someone around for a cup of tea. They say yes, they want a cup of tea. They drink the whole cup of tea. Great. You can invite someone around for a cup of tea. You offer them a cup of tea. They say no. That's fine. You don't give them the tea. You can offer them a cup of tea. They say yes. They take the key. They drink.
So hard to catch this all. Like,
they drink,
wow,
a little bit of the tea, and then they're like, "That's actually all the tea I want," and they put it back. That's fine.
It's a consent.
Yeah.
Enthusiastic consent.
Enthusiastic consent. And that you can say no at any point. And and saying yes initially doesn't mean that you can't say no later. It's amazing. All these kids, they're learning stuff.
Weirdly, when I was dating, I remember talking to a friend about like, I don't know how to get the guy in my house. Like I was like,
I thought you meant
in my
hole.
And I was like, we go out, we have dinner, we chat, we'll like do a fun activity, we'll kind of bond. And then I'm like, and then how do you fuck them? Like, I didn't know how to do that.
Wow.
And he was like, invite them in for a cup of tea. And I was like that was the term he used. And I was like, because he's like, no one wants tea. But if they say yes, they want to have sex with you. And I was like, oh. And I did it on my boyfriend. I was like, do you want to come in for a cup of tea? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have sex with this person.
Amazing.
And four and a bit beautiful years later.
We're still drinking tea. We've still never had sex. We've had a lot of tea.
We are bloated from tea.
That's so good. A little tidbit. I reckon you can also like have something fun in your room. Like, if you can see.
Do you want to see my clown mask?
Like, I've got this paint. If you see like a painting or a poster that you've got in your room, like a poster, I don't know. If you've got like, or a special item that you talk about into the night, and you're like, oh, I should show you that.
It's in my room. Then they're in the room and they're like, do do do.
Yeah.
Is that your move? So have an exciting object in your Here are dating tips from two guys that have been in solid relationships and not been for so long. I love that. What was your object?
Look, I've got a... I'm trying to think. I think I should... I can't say. This is a story I want to tell, but I'm not going to say it.
Hold on. Tim, can you mute this? What is it? Something... Okay, no, we don't need to talk about
that. I can't say that.
Okay, they're not going to talk about that story.
Tim, if you leave that in, oh my God,
you're so fucking
God.
Dead. There's a lot of editing to be done in this episode.
Of editing.
I love it. There's stuff that is like too
rude for the mic.
I know, I love that. Too
and
rude.
If you subscribe to our Patreon, which does not exist, we will still not be sharing that because it's personal.
It's personal. We'll fuck our lives up. I share so much. Like the other night, I was doing a gig and I was talking about porn and watching porn and how like... My attitude with Netflix is that, like, I will just pay $12 and $14 a month and, like, not care about it.
Yeah.
And, like, sometimes I don't watch stuff, but I still give them that money every month. Oh, the little dog's trying to get into the studio.
That's so cute.
Whereas, oh, my God, the people listening to this are like, it's been taken on such
We're
a
so
journey.
Distracted. I don't think anyone's made it to the end.
If you have made it to this point, fucking... Right on. Tweet us. You. Tweet us at this point right now and be like, I am this minutes into the podcast and we'll be like, we'll give you something.
Yeah.
What do we give them?
A fave.
No, we're going to give them something better than that. I was going to say a nude, but...
And then we'll send you a nude of a celeb. We will send you Justin Bieber's
We'll send you send you a link of our favorite YouTube clip. Right.
Okay.
Perfect. Great. So if you're at this point in the podcast, right... Now tweet us and then we'll send you a link. Anyway, porn, I was like, I will spend so much a week on Netflix for pornography, but when like a porn video asked me to pay for it, I'm like, absolutely not. Anyway, I was doing this, trying to find the material on this
killer content.
Look out into the audience, my auntie and uncle sitting in the second row, and I was like,
oh my God,
no. And they're just like kind of like gritting their teeth and just kind of like nodding, and I was like, oh my, I don't want them to either be like, I relate, or be like, oh well, that's my nephew talking about masturbating.
I've done so much. I'm just so deep into that. It's too late now. I'm like, oh well.
But if you just needed to watch the male gaze on TVNZ on demand and watch the Sealed Section episode to be like, anyone can watch that.
I know. It's available to every
And it's
person.
The rudest content.
Yeah. I just feel like all of my shows are like, I'm versatile. That means I like to get fucked sometime. And then my parents are just like saying,
like, we're proud of you, boy.
Yeah. Get it. Give it.
Would you, if your son came out, when your
no,
son
he's
comes
straight.
Out,
have you met him?
Would you want him to be a top, a bottom, or verse?
I'd want him to be a bottom. I think so. I think I'd love to raise a beautiful bottom.
Oh, that's beautiful. I think I want my child to be verse.
Nice.
Yeah, maybe.
I think most I want to live in a world where most people are verse, you know, verse angels. But I also think a confident bottom who really owns it is like, man, that's cool.
Or a generous top.
Yeah. Or a kind, loving top.
Who's like
warm arms.
I bottom every now and then, but I feel like I could give you everything you want.
Anything, yes.
Were you just turned on by that?
Yeah, that was like real. That voice you did was cool.
You can download that a little bit and just like play that on a loop.
Should we wrap this
shit up? What would you say, just to apologize for this train wreck of an episode, should we just explain the temperature of and kind of humidity of this room, right?
It's hot and the air is thick and Chris forgot it was on and...
Whoa! Throw me under the bus.
Okay, I'm sorry for the one time out of, 22 times that you forgot that we've had a podcast. I've brought it up on air.
I always forget. I would say all my clothes are the same temperature, which is about 60 degrees.
Yeah, my clothes just feel warm.
They all feel damp. Should we go have some beers in the sun?
Yeah, we shall. I want to do two things before we go. Number one, I'm starting a campaign. I want us to get more reviews on iTunes because we now have 2 1-star reviews.
Do we have two?
We have 2 1-star reviews. And so...
Oh my God, that honestly is devastating.
It's devastating as well.
Who the fuck?
Who's doing that?
I'm so angry right now. Who the fuck listens to a podcast and gives it one fucking star?
That's what? How many episodes did you listen to? To be honest, people are going to listen to this episode.
Give us one episode. Give us one. Listen to any of our other episodes this year.
We've got apart from this one,
and rate them.
And rate them. And write a little cute review, because we love reading your words.
Fuck you. We're not making any fucking money off this. Don't give us one star, you monster. Yeah,
also, if you have any tips for who fucking gave us
if
one
you
star,
actually know,
hunt them down.
I'm going to email the podcast network and find out.
Also, just a little plug, both myself and Chris Parker are heading to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival in mere weeks.
Yeah, the 27th, I think it is.
My first show.
Yeah.
Woof.
Eli's doing your show called...
It's called An Inconvenient Poof. It's at 6 p.m. every night in Storyville, although it's all at 5 p.m. on a Saturday. It's a little early evening treat. Have dinner afterwards.
Absolutely have dinner afterwards. And I'm doing Camp Bench, my show, at the Aphrodite Room at the Greek Center at 7:15 and I think 6:15 on Sundays.
Beautiful.
And that's a normal time to go see a show. Yeah. But, you know, you could see someone really famous at that point. But also, why don't you just see someone you don't know and that you listen to on this podcast?
They know you if they listen to
the podcast. If you're hearing this plug, you come see me. Don't. If you listen to this podcast, you live in Melbourne, book a fucking ticket.
Please.
Just do
just
it.
Just for once in
it's
your
the,
life.
It's the simplest, greatest thing that you could do.
It's the same as, you know, just being on our Patreon.
Stop bringing up the Patreon that doesn't exist.
We're also doing the Male Gaze Live. It's at European Beer Cafe, I think. Tim, if it's at somewhere else, you can dub over that.
I'm so tired I couldn't think of another joke for a venue that we could have been at. Also, I just don't know any other venue in Melbourne.
All the information is at littleempirepodcast.com.
Check out our social medias. Give us a better review on podcast.
We need to drown out these 2-1 stars. We do have like 70 beautiful 5-star reviews, but we need to drown out.
Who the F gave us? Was that a recent one?
Yeah, it's a new one. But they didn't write a review.
They just gave us one.
And also, if you're going to give us 1 star, please write why.
Yeah. If you're going to be like ruthless like that, then like...
Give us your feedback.
Give us your fucking feedback.
We want to improve. So
tell us that our voices are... We get the feedback and we're just destroyed.
The next episode will be even bleaker than this one. What are you insecure about now?
The fucking reviews we've been getting.
The reviews, man. I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase. It's the male gaze.
They're both male. And they're both gay. The male gaze.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.